Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. Before we get into today's show, I want to talk about a few things as we make a transition into the preseason. As always, we want to keep our podcast focused on things that are relevant to you at that particular time of the year. So we're going to focus things now on topics that are relevant to the preseason and then the season. And that's going to follow on our blogs as well. Be sure to check out all of our resources on our blogs, including our show notes. If you haven't taken a peek at our show notes before, you're going to want to check those out. We always create related content. We always put links to things mentioned into the show. So there's a lot of resources there for you, in addition to all the great things that we talk about here on the podcast. You're going to want to check those out daily at blogs.usafootball.com. As I mentioned, now the focus becomes the preseason. We started that flip a little bit last week with some of our best of from deliberate practice. We've had our offense and defense. You'll have our special teams skills and drills development later this week. Those are things we talked about, some different ways you can go about practice and training your drills and really keeping some variety as well as direct application to the game with some of those ideas. Check those out in last week's podcast. I had a unique opportunity here this past week to head to California. Number one, guys who coach out there, what a beautiful state you guys have. It was an incredible visit, including part of it, which was dedicated to attending the Quarterback Collective. I have a whole podcast on the Quarterback Collective with Richmond Flowers. We'll link that in our show notes and you get an idea of how that all came together. But basically, it is some of the best coaches in the NFL who attend this camp to train quarterbacks, some of the best quarterbacks in the country. They give them really a glimpse into how they do things from the way things are installed all the way to what they do on the field with their different drills. So it was an incredible experience. And part of that, a fresh page out of my notebook, comes from a talk that I sat in on with Mike Shanahan, Super Bowl champion, retired NFL coach. And the idea that he started this with, his presentation actually was a couple hours long where the players were able to sit in on that. We did have a few breaks in there, but sit in and listen to what it's like to install the offense and to be a part of an install in the first few days of camp. And the very first thing and one of the main objectives that Coach talked about was the idea of protect the team. And in this particular presentation, it was of his son, Kyle Shanahan, installing these things with his team on film. So you saw a lot of examples on film, and you heard Kyle's voice as they went through and installed this idea of protect the team. I think this is vital. This is critical. This is something you need to think about for your teams as you head into the season and how you can best serve the coaching staff as well as the players. I had the opportunity to talk with Coach Shanahan after his presentation and spent a few minutes with him, especially on this particular idea. I think it's so important. I think this is something you need to think about installing with your team and making it very intentional. I know these are a lot of things as I go over some of these ideas that we talk about as coaches, that we'll point out as coaches, but are we truly intentionally installing them and making sure they're part of what we do? Again, protect the team is the number one objective. And so throughout this, as Coach showed video, that came up again and again. Protect the team, protect the team, protect the team. So what does that mean? Well, in practice, we're not going to take any unnecessary shots on teammates. We're going to stop and take ourselves out of situations that could cause injury if we finished a teammate off. Certainly, there are going to be those points in practice where it is full go. But even in those periods, if there's the opportunity to really take a shot and something that might be detrimental to the future of the team because you lose a player, it's something you want to avoid in practice. I know this is something that constantly has been a focus in my coaching career, and especially as I got into the college level, really focusing on how do we keep those players ready for game day and not lose them in practice. A colleague of mine, our defensive coordinator, very good friend Jim Meyer, used to always say, let's not sharpen the sword dull. The idea that we certainly want to get better in practice, but we want to have everything available 100% for game day. So that's kind of the focus behind this idea, which Coach Shanahan presented. This concept of protect the team is something that was part of the day one install. It was the first thing that Coach Shanahan started speaking about. And then again, it was reinforced throughout practice. They spent time on it every single day pointing out examples. As I thought about this and talked to Coach Shanahan later about how important it was that we look at this as coaches at every level, I think we start to think about, okay, well, how can we accomplish this? I know a lot of teams don't necessarily film practice or maybe don't have that library of film that you could create some of those things right now. But I certainly think you could go out and demonstrate these different scenarios with your players and walk them through exactly what you're talking about and define what it means to protect the team. So I'm going to point out some of those areas here both from Coach Shanahan, some ideas I have of my own on how we protect the team throughout a practice. The very first thing that Coach Shanahan pointed out on video was that opportunity to take a shot on an offensive player, really even on a defensive player, who's not in a position to protect himself. One of those that definitely is a win for the one taking the shot and a loss for that guy who's taking it. And avoiding those situations, getting to that point and shutting it down, not finishing through on those particular teams. And I know the argument would be, well, if we're not training that in practice, then it's not going to happen in the game. I really believe you have plenty of opportunities to be able to practice that, and I think a lot of it really is instinctual. I mean, our players are out there. They're going to continue to be aggressive. We're not softening our game if we take some of these hits out of practice. And, you know, more and more of the rules are taking away some of these hits anyway. So being able to do it in a controlled way or to get to a point where you know it's going to happen and you shut it down, I think is very relevant to what we're doing right now. And it's just good practice for us in protecting our own players. So he pointed out an example where a receiver caught the ball coming across the middle and he was about to make that turn up field. There's a safety on him with an angle and that guy just cleaned him out. And, you know, one of the things Coach pointed out is there was a coach there celebrating that hit. And obviously that's a situation that we're not only teaching this to our players, we're also teaching and installing this with our coaches and giving some expectations to what we want. That hit was not necessary in practice. That's something, again, if things don't go the right way, we might lose that player for a little bit to an injury. And we want to avoid that at all costs. We want our own players to make it a game day every single week. So there's no need to put them in unnecessary risks. So not only is this training the players about what is right and wrong, it's also training your staff to understand exactly what it is. And the end result, and something Coach talked about, is that you want to get to the point where your players are coaching this. This particular presentation was really for the players, for those kids attending camp, and the point being to these quarterbacks that you have to protect your team too. That yes, this has to come from the coaches, but you guys have to understand that this is our standard of practice. Protect the team is an objective and a standard of practice that we need everybody to buy into, that we need everybody on the field to be coaching up. So if you see your teammates doing that, it shouldn't always be the coaches who are getting on them. It's the players who should be correcting that behavior as well. The next example we pointed out was actually a defensive holding. That situation where that offensive receiver makes a break. Maybe it's a double move. Maybe he's able to get on top and start getting away. And the point being that a holding at that point, when a player is in full stride, again, can cause one of those, not a collision, but cause both players to either to get rolled up, to go to the ground, to stretch and strain in a way that maybe is going to put them at risk for some kind of a soft tissue injury, whether that's a rolled ankle or a knee. And it's those situations on that defensive holding in the field that we want to avoid those kind of things. There may be situations in the game where, yes, you know, if you're getting beat, you want that train. But again, we want to avoid those in practice. I know years ago, we implemented in practice, especially as the week went on, was the right of way to the ball. That we had those situations where maybe it was that 50-50 ball, or maybe was that opportunity where a defender was getting beat to do something to hold that offensive guy and keep him from making the play. But we got to a point with our scout team, especially during the season, where we were training them that on these particular days or in these particular periods, the offense has the right of way to the ball. And we learned the hard way. We had a Thursday practice where we had one of our starting receivers got tied up with somebody because they were both going to make a play on the ball, and it really wasn't necessary on that particular day. Yeah, the ball was a little bit underthrown. We certainly don't want that to happen. But in that situation, we wanted to find who the winner is going to be. So we would make those periods, and we would announce at the beginning of it that the offense has right of way to the ball, that the receivers had right of way to the ball. And that would mean that those defenders, unless there was some kind of a clear interception, that anything there was going to be a play in traffic, that if there were going to be two guys going up for the ball, the defensive guy could stay in phase and just run with him, but wanted at all costs to avoid that contact where they would get tied up and we had that opportunity, like in this particular case where we had a strained MCL as a result of that play. So we want to avoid those situations at all costs. The unique part of this is that it wasn't focused just on one position or a couple positions. That coach went through and pointed out things for every single one. Holding on the offensive line is another example. The whole idea up front was if you're beat, you're beat. That you don't need to necessarily do something with holding or something illegal to try to win that play. It's going to get caught. Maybe the coach misses it, but the whole idea is what we're trying to train here is a standard. That we don't do that in practice. We certainly don't want players to hold in the game, but we want to avoid those situations, again, where it causes somebody to be in a position of risk. And so anytime that you are committing a penalty, really, those are in the game, number one, to keep it fair, but also to protect players. So holding is another thing you wanted to avoid. The whole idea, really, for any player, but especially the interior guys, if a teammate was off balance, don't finish him off, right? You get him to that point, you know you're going to be able to put him on his back, you have him beat, that's the idea where you throttle it down, and he's beat. And at that point, he knows he's beat as well. Now, again, you need to define these in your periods. You need to come up with the system for what is this called. I know a lot of us use the contact standards of thud, full go, tag off, all those kinds of things. You need to define that as well. And just looking at the practices I attended this past spring, every single coach would talk about the tempo, some of it called it the tempo of this period, but whatever that might be, the levels of contact, whatever you're going to do, define that at the beginning of the period and what's the objective for that so your players know, and then again, you're meeting that standard of protect the team. Pass rush. He talked about and showed examples of a bull rush as an example. That bull rush is very effective, but one of those things where that offensive lineman is beat, don't continue driving him back into the quarterback. I can think of an example as a player. This was in high school. We lost our quarterback in practice because an offensive lineman got driven back into him. He didn't get hit, but when he followed through on his throw, his thumb went right into the helmet of that player, and he broke his thumb, and we lost him, I think, for 4 weeks of the season till he was able to get back, and that was a huge loss for us, especially at the high school level when you maybe only have one guy who's that level or that caliber of player to lead your offense. So you're going to want to think about all those kinds of things and again, define those, especially the ones that are going to make a difference to your team. Defensive linemen, when we have those exotic blitzes or maybe we're able to find that gap and come through clean, don't stand in front of the quarterback. Don't buzz the quarterback, really. Veer off, get out of the way, stay out of any situation where you're going to cause contact. You're going to have all those opportunities to work some of those things in individual, You're going to have the opportunities maybe during live periods to get there and make that tag on the quarterback. But in the normal thing scheme of things, you're going to want to stay out of the way of the quarterback. That's where some injuries can happen. The coaches see it. The point was the coaches are going to see this. We see that you won. We know that you won. You know that you won. Your opponent on the other side of the ball on your team knows that you won. So don't do anything that's going to put the team at risk. Again, the standard protect the team. This doesn't mean that you take all of that aggression out of your players. It's doing it especially in the 11-on-11 situations when there's a lot more moving parts. You know, Coach showed an example of kind of that chain reaction where one guy continues, finishes an off-balance player, that guy falls and goes into the knee of another player, maybe that guy falls and reacts and another player goes down, and eventually in that what becomes a, you know, car wreck on a freeway where all these cars are banging together, you're going to have something bad happen there. The idea was within these situations where more and more they get chaotic, you're going to want to have your players throughout practice, especially as you get into the season, being able to do this in a controlled way. And the idea, again, to protect the team. Now, certainly when you have isolated drills, when the space is clear and you're able to work on some of those things like finishes, they're a lot safer in your drills than they are in the 11-on-11 period. Speaking of drills, we recently had a podcast on banned drills in the NFL, and I did have the opportunity in this camp to talk to several NFL coaches about that idea of the ban. And, you know, I think I mentioned it in that podcast that the NFL really hasn't done those for years. So why are they banning them? Why are they making this public announcement that these shouldn't be in NFL practices? And really, I think a lot of that, and especially in talking to these guys, they confirmed it, that this is designed to help us take a look at that, to realize that we don't need, for example, that Oklahoma drill where we're aligned on the same exact plane with no defined entry point for the ball, with no defined gap responsibility, and we have two players who essentially end up with head-to-head contact, and we want to avoid that at all costs. Those coaches agreed with me that that doesn't happen in football, that they haven't done those for years, that it doesn't have a lot of value for them. Now, I did offer some alternatives in that last podcast to how do you make those drills better? How do you make them more relevant to the game and essentially eliminate some of those risks that are taken in the traditional way they've been taught? So please take a listen to that podcast as well. We'll put that link in the show notes. The other one that came up in talking to two NFL offensive line coaches, was the idea of team run versus inside run. And those guys really not doing the inside run anymore, that it becomes a team run period where there's that opportunity for some play action. I know at the college level, and I'm watching those in the spring, they had a lot of RPO installed in there. They would throw some bubble screens to the receivers or even quick game, as well as some of those play action shots and boots and naked. So thinking of a team run rather than that situation where there's only one thing happening, where you take the read out of the game, not only makes it more effective from that standpoint of making it really truly applicable to game day. You don't know on game day that it's going to be run or pass on a particular play. Now, you may have those tendencies, but at the end of the day, your players have to go through their reprogression on that side of the ball. And the offense, obviously, is going to face a different demeanor from that defense when there is that opportunity of run and pass. So the team run period, which is, again, a combination of run and play action, I think are very effective ways of protecting your team and something you need to look at as you go into this season. Last thing I want to mention is our Practice Smart resource. We'll put the link there in the show notes. That's something we put together with former NFL coach Tony Dungy and the head football coach at Plant High School, Robert Wiener, who's a four-time Florida state champion in Tampa. You're going to want to check that out. Very creative, great examples illustrated on film of different ways they're able to limit the contact and practice in situations where you typically think of, I need contact within this certain drill or within this certain period. They're able to show how they're really smart with the ways that they allot their times of practice that they're going to use contact, and then they're able to take it out of other segments where traditionally we've thought of those as, I need contact in this. Again, check that out. The link will be in our show notes. To wrap things up, I highly recommend you take some of the advice given by Coach Shanahan to really install this as part of what you guys do. Look at it daily. If you film practice, point out those things from practice. If you don't film practice, point out those things that happen. The key is to be able to get your players on the same page with you. And when they start looking at these things, when they start protecting each other, I think that's going to be a great situation. If you don't have the film to illustrate them, think about how you can orchestrate and create those scenarios where you can show those players out on the field those different things you're talking about before you hit that first practice. Install it with your team. I think with anything you do, if you're not specifically addressing it, installing it, bringing it to their awareness and teaching them that standard, you can't expect that to happen on its own. So coach it up and make it part of what you do, and best of luck with your preseason. Again, we're at the time of the year where we're going to make that flip. We're going to get out of some of those deep dives and teaching some scheme and those kinds of things, and get into things that are going to be focused more on practice and preparing your team and developing your team throughout the season. I know I'm excited about this next group of interviews we have coming up with FBS coaches, position coaches, coordinators, head coaches, where we're going to talk about specifically and get into the details of how they practice and develop their position, their units, their team. We're going to cover everything from practice and drills to really how they install their culture. And I think you're going to find that very useful as you go through that with your team here during camp. Once we hit the season, we'll transition to our in-season format. For those of you who have not been with us through a season, we have a different co-host join me each day of the week, and we focus on some different topics. We like to cut those segments down to shorter podcasts, but still packed with detail and information, and those will be around 25 minutes, something that you could sneak in during a planning period, maybe during a quick workout or your drive to work. You're going to want to check those out in season on USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. And speaking of finding different ways to practice, being able to practice things that we think of, again, in the traditional setting, like blocking, tackling, defeating blocks, you're going to want to check out all of our systems for that at footballdevelopment.com. We have a lot of innovative ways to teach the skills of contact without actually having the contact involved in every single play. Again, check it out at footballdevelopment.com. Our free shoulder tackling system is there, 27 drills, and you're able to get 3 free videos from our contact system as well as our advanced tackling system. For those of you who haven't seen it, please check out our series, a 6-part series on the advanced tackling system, where we go through and show you how to grade your film and look at the tackle in a way that you're going to be able to prescribe exactly what you need in practice for the next week. And we even get into some of the detail of how that wraps into a game plan. Again, check it out on blogs.usafootball.com. Follow us on Twitter. We have great content there daily at FBDEVCoach. And you can give us questions there, and certainly follow me on Twitter at Coach K Grabowski. Thanks again for listening. If you're enjoying it, head on over to iTunes and click a 5-star rate. If you have a minute, write a review.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.